Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a sneak to the left, and they shove him right into the end zone for a 2-yard touchdown run. The beast has been released. Back to pass, looking left, pumps, rolls to his right, pocket collapsing, comes back to his left, heaves it down the left sideline for Shavers in the end zone for a touchdown. A broken play goes for 6, 43 yards. And it's a tunnel screen to Ty Johnson, threw a hole and up the sideline, 40, 35, 30, it's a foot race, 20, 10, 5, touchdown, Ty Johnson! Mayfield looking to the right, and it's picked off! Cole Bishop with the interception, back on his feet, up the sideline, and down to the 25.
All right, there you go. That's Chris Brown on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. I am Sal Capaccio here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday. A Buffalo Football Victory Monday we get back to after last week departing from that for a Monday. And, of course, that's presented by Catholic Health, and it is the right way to care. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com and by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. Good to be with you today. Happy Victory Monday to you. Bills get back in the win column, 44-32 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a game that saw, I believe, what, 9 lead changes. You can call the show today. This is the difference, right, between a win and a loss. I get here last week to start the show, Joe. I think we had like 5 callers already on hold. Today, got open phone lines, basically. A couple people are starting to call now. But now's your chance to get in if you want to say whatever you need to say on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday. Quick turnaround to Thursday. We'll get to that in a little while. But 803-0550 is the number. If you don't want to call and just want to get involved in the chat, we have that going over in our YouTube and Twitch streams. Check it out on YouTube. Looking right now at some of the chatters. The bullpen, as we like to say. Hello, Dan. Giglia, I believe it is, Bill, Ardo, JT Bills, AC, who else we got in here? Tony, Nick DePew, Johnny G, Hot Dirt, Kelvin. I'm sure a lot of you have other use. I like to just kind of let you know that I'm there, that I'm watching and I'm seeing you, all right? But as always, I always say, I can't really interact with the bullpen during the show because I'm live and talking. JTL, thank you. But you guys can interact with each other, and I appreciate that. So thanks for coming aboard here. All right, 44-32, Bills beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A lot to get to in this game, and I think it would probably be – I mean, it's so I think you need to start with the Keon Coleman stuff, but at the same time, I don't want to wash away the victory by starting with that. I mean, this was a needed win. This was a win against a team that was another a high-level opponent, a good team in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that – has a very, very good quarterback playing at an MVP level earlier in the year, at least, and a defense that was giving up some big plays, and the Bills took advantage of that yesterday. And an offense for the Bills that finally seemed to get on track in the passing game, and what I was encouraged by was the fact that the run game, which has been so strong for the Bills that they've been leaning on for quite a while, that for 2 weeks now, it's kind of been shut down a bit by opponents And last week, they weren't able to figure it out in the pass game. And this week, they were. And of course, a little Josh Allen magic and Superman football from Josh Allen at times. I mean, give credit to the whole offense and what they were able to do with Josh. But holy cow, the MVP played like the MVP yesterday. Josh Allen accounting for 6 total touchdowns. He ran for 3. He threw for 3. He accounted for 357 yards of offense. Threw a bad interception early, threw another one later that was deflected on a 4th down. And he was at his best when his team needed him to be. But part of the reason why he was at his best when his team needed him to be was because the cast around him stepped up to be more available in ways where we have not seen the cast around him be more available for him in weeks past. What do I mean by that? Out of structure, off-script plays, getting downfield, Tyrell Shavers, sitting down in the zone, Gabe Davis. I mean, the numbers are there, right? You take a look at the numbers. 19 of 30, 317. You take a look at 10 different targets, 9 different guys catching passes, a 43-yard touchdown, a 25-yard touchdown, a 52-yard touchdown. A couple of those were catches and runs, right? Shot plays down the field. The Bills actually had, if you go to arrow up, arrow down, I have it at WGR550.com. One of the arrows up I gave, if you didn't notice or didn't know the numbers, I'll give them to you. The Bills actually had, let me count them again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 plays of at least 20 yards. We believe all were passes. 8 20-yard or more pass plays in this game. That's something that's been lacking and missing from this offense. But beyond the numbers, the eye test was there. The eye test of the passing game, it just looked better. It looked smoother. It looked more efficient. And that's what they need going forward. And who would have thought, as great of a story as he was, and as much as he became a fan favorite, and everybody understood that he worked his butt off to earn it, who would have thought that maybe the answer on the boundary would be Tyrell Shavers? And I'm not going to jump all the way and lean in all the way to that right now because it's one game. But Tyrell Shavers mattered yesterday. He mattered. So did Gabe Davis. This was a team that late in the week, we know this now from everything that was said from Sean McDermott and Keon Coleman himself. Late in the week, they transitioned from Keon Coleman being a big part of the game plan or a part of the game plan and understanding his role, starting all that stuff that he normally does, to being benched because he was late or missed a team meeting. It was, I guess there's still not complete clarification on that. I think Sean McDermott said he was late, but third discipline issue for this young man, second this year, have to transition and go right to, okay, Gabe, you're elevated. Maybe that was going to happen anyway. You got to play snaps. Tyrell Shavers, you're taking a bulk of the snaps. Tyrell Shavers and Khalil Shakir were on the field more than any other wide receiver on the Buffalo Bills yesterday. And it looked better. It looked better. I don't think there's any denying that. Now, again, against a defense that's been giving up, you know, yards and points and plays through the air. So let's see what it looks like next week. If maybe they'd even do that next week. What happens now going forward? I don't know. I'm just here to tell you that without Keon Coleman and with Tyrell Shavers and Gabe Davis and a couple plays of Mecole Hardman sprinkled in, I don't really want to go that far with him because he had one shot down the field and they didn't connect. But with Tyrell Shavers and Gabe Davis and no Keon Coleman, the passing game looked better yesterday. It also looked better because they got running backs involved. 4 catches for about, 127 yards? I think it was 5 catches between Ty Johnson and Ray Davis. So we're going to talk about it all today. It's all on the table. You know how this Monday works, the Buffalo Football Victory Monday. Got the Victory Monday t-shirt on, got the phone calls lined up for you, and it's your chance to say what you need to say about this particular game, this particular team, and have your platform and your forum. So we'll do all of that today. We'll get to sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, I'll take a look around the league as we go forward as well. 803-0550 is the telephone number to call. Let's start it off with Billy in Toronto. Hi, Billy. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. This is Buffalo Bills football. This is what I've been saying when I've been calling all year. I know we've had some bad games, but this is how we do it. We've got to get into shootouts because we got the best damn quarterback in football. Well, I think either him or the guy in Cincinnati who's injured. And this is how we do it. I don't care if we give up points. I don't care what happens on the other side of the ball. This is how we play. This is how we dominate teams, and it was this was just perfect. This is what I've been trying to say all year. And, you know, two things. One thing about Josh, listen, I love you to death. You know that. You're my favorite athlete. But can we get rid of that Patrick Mahomes play? You know, the one where you shot put it or whatever it is he does, and you took the interception. Can you just take the sack there?
Yeah, he should have done that. But, you know, yeah, I think the issue was there. I think, Billy, I'm just trying to get in Josh's head here. He was so close to the goal line. If he just grounds it, that's a penalty and that's a safety because he's there. And I think he wanted to avoid a sack in the end zone as well because that's a safety. So bad decision. I'm not disagreeing, but I think that's what he was thinking there. He wanted to avoid the safety. And, of course, it became a tough decision anyway.
Yeah, and just one last thing.
Yeah.
You know, Sal, I've been saying to you before that we need that one play where we're in trouble. And boy, did I love that play where Josh looks like he's going to run. He's about 4 or 5 yards short. And the old Josh would just bust right through those guys. But I think this was a set play. They had a receiver wide. He makes the pass. Okay, we got called for it being a forward lateral. That was a little too close. I didn't think that was a forward lateral.
It
but
was.
What a great,
it was forward.
Yep. Okay, but what
forward.
A great call on that. What a great call for him. If it's not a forward lateral, it's a great
play.
Yeah,
you're right about that. You know what I would tell you, Billy? I think the wind actually pushed it forward, and I'm not kidding. I actually think the wind, his momentum did for sure, but I think the wind, that was the way the wind was going, and his momentum carried him that way. And I think I don't know if it was a design play, but of course there's a guy, there's an outlet there, and it happened. Hey, Billy, I got to run. I got more calls. Thanks a lot for calling, buddy, as always.
Thank you.
All right, you got it. Let's go down to Atlanta. Michael in Atlanta. What's up, man?
Hey, Sal. Hey, thanks again for doing what you do, man.
You got it.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. Okay,
yep.
So real quick, I do want to talk about just something very spooky. So I communicate with my nephew. Him and I text a lot during the game. And when the Bills had the ball in the end zone and a text came in, I thought that was him. He knows I'm on delay. I said, oh, no, what, Josh Allen threw an interception? Well, it wasn't him, and then Josh Allen threw the interception. But I had this weird feeling that he was going to come back in the game. And I kid you not, I thought he was going to have 5 touchdowns. I was wrong. It was 6. But I'm impressed with how he bounced back from that. But I'm also super impressed with Joe Brady and how he managed the game when the Tampa defense was stopping the Bills' running game. I just thought that it was masterful, the way that he opened up quick, short passes, almost like extended handoffs. I just want to give kudos to Brady because I really thought that he called a great game. Of course, Bills had to execute, which they did, but I still thought that was great. I just wanted your opinion on him calling the game.
Yeah, I gave him an arrow up, arrow down. I thought that he did a very good job. I thought that he did a good job of managing and making adjustments after the Buccaneers came after Josh very early in the game, that first series. Josh throws the interception. After that, he was pretty clean. That was number one. Number two, I thought he did a good job of figuring out how to, and the Bills did a good job of getting more control of the run game. It was never great, but it got better as the game went on and kept them off balance. Did a nice job. I mean, if you look at the overall numbers in the game for the Bills, I mean, I just want to say, I think Josh threw the ball 30 times. 30 passes and 23 runs. You know, I mean, that's a nice balance there, I think, and that's what that can help you out.
Some of those runs were important at the end of the game when Kirk did get some 7-8-yard runs. And one last thing, all this talk about week to week, and you know, the greatest team, the worst team, all this stuff we're hearing from fans. Look, it helps when you get players back, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, they were devastated last week with injury, and getting all these players back is really, I think, helped the team. And I think what's going to, you know, carry them through in the playoffs or whatever team's going to go deep in the playoffs is going to be who's peaking at the right time and who's healthy.
Yeah, for sure, Mike. It always is. Thanks a lot for the phone call. And the Bills still without Dalton Kincaid yesterday. We'll see what happens and what that means for Thursday. Quick turnaround, so not sure he'll be available by then. Then you have 10 days to get ready for the next game. But nice job. Dawson Knox actually had a really large share of the snap count yesterday. And then Jackson Hawes did not play as much. But the Bills did a nice job, I thought, of mixing personnel. Take a look at the snap counts. I tweeted them out, at Sal Sports. I mean, you're talking all the wide receivers are basically between 40 and 50%. I mean, they did a nice job of mixing that in. It was a true...
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody eats mentality, what they preach, and it worked yesterday. Doesn't always work. It worked yesterday. Cleveland in Niagara Falls. Hi, Cleveland.
Sal, I'm absolutely beside myself, and I have been since the beginning of that game when, you know, we lose to the 2-7 Dolphins to a team whose best secondary player is playing in Pittsburgh right now. You had these questions of whether or not you are starting a wide receiver. And you have the nerve to miss, be late, whatever, to a mandatory meeting. I just think that's just, and it's your third disciplinary action. And then we look so good in the passing game without you, which makes me think maybe the passing game had a problem because of you. I have no sympathy for Keon Coleman, and I think he needs to be demoted all the way down to the practice squad. I just wanted to say that.
I appreciate your sentiment. I will tell you that's not happening because of this. Well, he hung up, just so you know. And I love the fire and passion, and I agree for a large part of what you're saying, Cleveland. I'll touch on a couple things here. I mean, Keon Coleman needs to grow up. I'm not saying that just as Sal Capaccio. I'm saying that as what's being echoed from the locker room. You heard Deion Dawkins say that. Now, I will say, the clip that's going viral with Deion and talking about that, Deion said a lot of great things about Keon, and the clip is being picked up of the negative kind of part of that, which is he needs to grow up. But he's not wrong. And Deion talked about, we got his back. And I talked with him. And hey, no more pats on the back. Time to grow up. I'm going to tell you, like, it's a sign of immaturity that he has not become quite the professional he needs to be. He needs to do that. He needs to become more of a professional. To understand this is a job that people rely on you and your actions. Your actions as a professional football player impact other people's lives and careers around you. Every day, every meeting, everything you do on the field and off the field. This isn't just about Keon Coleman, the person. It's about Keon Coleman, the part of the organization. Keon Coleman, the teammate. What he does, how he acts, the things that the Bills have to deal with impact everybody around him. And I think he has to understand that, and he hasn't yet. Now, to your point, Cleveland, just so you know, he'd have to be waived to go to the practice squad. If he gets waived, he's just getting claimed. Now, I'm sure there's somebody listening going, I don't care, get him off my team. Well, the Bills aren't going to waive Keon Coleman and have him just lose him for nothing as a second-round pick last year. Because the reality is he's still a young man, and by all indications, he's a really fun, fine young man. He just hasn't learned how to be a professional yet and hasn't matured enough to understand that yet. And he needs to very quickly. Now. Like now. Now's the time. Do it. At the end of the game, after the game, we caught up with him outside the Bills locker room. And he just kept repeating, I just have to be better. Well, then be better. I asked him, when did you know you weren't going to play? He said, oh, I knew that basically right away. Can't keep making those mistakes. Well, you did make that mistake again. Then stop making the mistakes again. Be more accountable. Be more aware of what your life now entails as a professional football player, as a professional in anything. But the good news is The optimism is he is still young, and it doesn't have to be the definition of his career. He could literally, starting today, be the most on-time, timely person ever and the hardest worker ever and have a Hall of Fame career. We don't know. The Bills aren't going to move on from Keon Coleman right now. They're not going to waive him so he goes to the practice squad. But I do wonder if he's in the lineup Thursday. I do wonder how much he plays going forward, because that passing offense looked better, and Cleveland made the point. It looked better without him. And maybe that's another wake-up call to him, and he goes, hey, yo, Tyrell, Gabe, like, what am I doing here? I better get my butt in gear. Maybe. You hope. Let's go to Mr. Bill, who wants to chime on this. Hi, Mr. Bill.
Hey, Sal. Thank you for taking my call, man.
Yep.
Just two quick things. It's just so disappointing with Keon, everything that's going on. I don't want to pile on him. Everybody's been talking about him. But when you look at someone like Tyrell Shavers and all the adversity that he's overcame, almost making his team so many times, my mind goes to if Keon was in that position with his maturity level and how he's dealt with the injury and things like that, how would he react? Would he have done what Tyrell Shavers has done, or would he have given up? I don't know. It's just something that I think about. And going to the defense,
yeah.
One of the tough things about this defense is three people have done so much for our franchise, Bernard, Milano, and Taren. Their play has dropped off, and Bernard made a lot of plays yesterday. Let's be real. He plays hard. Sounds like he's a hard worker, always has the tablet with him. And same with Taren and Milano, but their drop in play has really, really affected this defense more than anything, man. And, again, they've done so much for this franchise. Very grateful for them, but I'll hang up and listen to what you
guys. Yeah, I mean, Terrell Bernard's clearly dealing with the ankle. I thought he actually played pretty well yesterday, considering everything. And I know they got run on a lot, but Terrell Bernard looked more like Terrell Bernard, even though, yes, they did have a lot of run yards against them. He was filling holes better. He was at the point of attack better. I thought he was moving better, dropping better. He actually had two tackles for loss, two passes defended. I think you have to understand the ankle injury is impacting him a lot, and what's happening up front with these guys is impacting them a lot. It's not an excuse. I agree with you. Taren Johnson has not had his best year. You can make the argument that Cam Lewis has been better when he's in there. Matt Milano is not making the splash plays we've used to see from Matt Milano. But he's also, though, still processing at a high level compared to other people you can put in there. You know, and I get it. But there are a lot of things that get baked into all that. Let's go to Anthony in New York City. Hi, Anthony.
Sal, how you doing, Sal?
Good, thanks.
Sal, you're talking about the defense. I feel they're missing that Alvin in the middle of defense because they're getting gashed.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they're missing him for sure. I mean, that's tough. They're missing Michael Hoyt as well. They are missing him. And he's not coming back anytime soon. Ed Oliver's not going to be back here until probably playoff time at best to start the playoffs. That's what it feels like, or it seems like, at least that's the word. Michael Hoyt, missing him. After only having him for less than two games, you saw the impact. Landon Jackson can't get on the field now because he's injured, obviously. He's out. I mean, you got to piece this together with who you have. Let's go to Gary in Buffalo. Hi, Gary.
Hey, good morning, Sal.
Yep.
So my question to you is Todd Bowles decided to challenge the completed pass in the, I believe it was the first half. And
was it the one with Samuel on the sideline or no? Which one?
It's the one where he challenged the completed pass, and then if that was the case and it was a completed pass, that he actually fumbled it and Buffalo recovered. So if that challenge would have gone through and it was a completed pass, would in fact Buffalo would have they gotten the ball back because of the fumble?
Okay. Yes. I'm going to go through this, but I'll say the answer to your question is yes. I have not, I'll, just a precursor to this, I have not seen the full replay of it other than what I saw on the field, so I can't tell you right now everything, but I will tell you, to answer your question, Gary, when a play is challenged, they do review the entire play. You know what I mean? So yes, if it was determined it was a catch and a fumble, the Bills would have got it, yes.
Yeah, and that just solidifies my fact that I never was a fan of Todd Bowles. I look at him on the TV screen and I giggle when
Let me ask you this, Gary and Joe, you can weigh in on this, and maybe even Owen, because I haven't seen it. Was it if it was a catch? Was it also a fumble? Gary's saying it was. What did you see? I have not seen the replay enough yet.
It could have been for sure. It was if it was going to be rule the catch, it would have been a fumble.
Okay, that's what he's saying, right?
I don't think it was. I don't think the ground caused it. It was out and about before.
So, Gary, it looks like, I mean, you got a couple of guys here agreeing with you, because, like I said, I have not looked at it yet in detail. I only saw the replay on the board, and I immediately said, "Oh, that's not a catch," and I didn't think about the second part of it. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Well, thanks for answering that. Thanks.
Yeah, you got it. The answer to the question Gary's asking is, if he wins the challenge, isn't it a fumble? Yes, because the whole play is reviewed, actually. So if they determine it's a catch, they have to say it's also a fumble, because you can't just say, we're going to give him the catch and not the fumble. That would not make any sense. Oh, and I cut you off, but you saw the same thing?
Yeah. Okay. I saw essentially the same.
Okay.
Same thing where it was one or the other, where it was either an incomplete pass or the guy caught it and then Bernard had it. So it was one or the other.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Good start to a Buffalo football victory Monday. Sal Capaccio with you here on WGR.
It is disappointing, but I still believe in the young man. And we get to a certain point and I've got to do something. I try and give the guys some, kind of a strike approach. Hey, you get a chance to show that teammates, that's not really who you are, and then when it happens again, then I step in. So I believe he will learn from it. He takes it seriously, and he will move forward in a way of growing from this, and that's the whole goal.
All right, that is Bills head coach Sean McDermott talking about Keon Coleman. And, you know, I'm going to say that I would believe the Bills feel the same way about what I feel about this when I say it this way. You just won a game, 44-32, exciting, back and forth, two really great quarterbacks going at it, two really good football teams. You erased a bad loss out of your mouth last week. You got to turn around against the Texans coming up. You're 7-3, looking to go 8-3, trying to chase down the Patriots. You're having high leverage, emotional, positive thoughts and feelings, and you have to address this. That's part of what is frustrating here. It's not just the Keon Coleman, like in a vacuum, him and what he did for his disciplinary issues and what's going on with him. It's not just that and saying, what do you do with Keon Coleman? It's the fact that you have to talk about this. It's the fact that it becomes a distraction and takes away from what you're trying to accomplish. And that's what I mean when I say he's a professional and everything that he does, he has to understand it. Everything he does impacts lives, careers of people around him, coaches, players, everybody. And that's what's frustrating. And you hope he gets the message. You hope he got the message. Let's go to John, who's in Detroit. What's going on, John?
Yeah, good morning, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. My drive home to Detroit right now from the game yesterday. 2 points. One is I like the comparison of this team with the 22 where we lost the Patriots on a Monday night game, 14-3. Talk about a bad taste in our mouth. And then backs to the wall, won five or six straight, beating Miami in the last day of the season. I think this team's got the same kind of guts and determination, and they erased that terrible Miami victory in the same way they did with the Patriots that year. Secondly, what I like about the Coleman situation is I think the administration, you know, McDermott, has learned from that year we had the Diggs distraction. And that was all just a jumbled mess. I like the way they've grabbed this, put it right out there in the open. Of course, Coleman is the much younger player than Diggs was. You had your dug-in, settled veteran saying things and getting, you know, putting media messages out there in text. And that was a major distraction. I think they've nipped it in the bud this time. I'm glad the way they're handling it. I'm not giving up on Coleman. I think he can mature to be a pretty good football player. And finally, this year we don't have what I call the CDS, hopefully, after yesterday's win by the Broncos, Chiefs derangement syndrome. Yes, they have 8 games to go, but let's stop worrying about the Chiefs. That's all we do. Let's just get them out of our brain. Just wash them out.
That's tough to do. It's tough to do, right? I mean, I think Jeremy has dubbed it the Chiefs fear bunker is what it is. You know what I mean? You're in the fear bunker. I think it's tough to do. You know, it's funny, John. Yesterday, we're watching, and after the game, Max, my son, said to me, he goes, Dad, don't we want Kansas City to win? And I'm like, it's a good question, right? It's a good question.
Yes, it is.
So I think I landed on this. I said, you know, earlier in the week, I said on Show Up in the Bulldog, and I think this is where I landed. It didn't matter who won between the Chiefs and Broncos yesterday. I think the point is you want them to split their two games. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I think that's where you land. You want them to split their two games, because then you give each of them a loss, because obviously maybe you can keep the Chiefs down more, but also you might be catching the Broncos, you know, trying to catch them for a playoff seeding. So you have to let it play out to know if that's accurate. But I think it's a good question yesterday if you want to say, like, who are the Bills fans rooting for? You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Thanks, John. I appreciate it, buddy. Thanks a lot for the call. Yeah, you got it. Let's go to Kyle's in a car. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. Just first off, Sal, you're a legend. Bills Mafia loves and appreciates everything you do. You're the hardest working man in the Buffalo sports media, man. Love you. Love listening to you. Just a quick question and a comment on Joe Brady, Josh Allen. It just seems, watching these games, kind of in the Chiefs game, in the Buccaneers game, a couple of kind of bigger games, it feels like those are the games when we're unleashing the playbook a little bit. It seems like the effort level is a little bit greater from Josh Allen, maybe. The question that I have for you, do you think it's a function of Josh Allen, Joe Brady kind of holding things back during the regular season until we get into some of these must-have games, and then expanding the playbook and expanding kind of the offense to take advantage and win these kind of gotta have them games?
You know, I don't know. It's a good question, Kyle. I would never dismiss, like, that you want to not show everything, but at the same time, you have to win games, right? You have to win games. You got to do it. I do think it comes down to just being, you know, each game, preparing for each team, preparing for each opponent. I also think that there's just something to be said about anybody in life in a more, you know, pressure moment and adrenaline and what you bring to the table in certain moments and having to be more aggressive or having to do things differently because, you know, your season's on the line and things like that. So, you know, I think we've all seen with our own eyes, Josh Allen has generally in his career been at his best when the Bills have needed him to be. He's one of the greatest playoff performers of all time. So, yeah, and I don't know if I'd go right to they're holding things back, because you don't want that to cost you games. But I do think that you know you have a guy that when it comes time, he's going to do everything possible that maybe he does in a game like yesterday or a playoff game that maybe he doesn't in another game, because you're in the middle of a regular season and there's just not that much urgency, if that makes sense.
Definitely. You know, appreciate it, Sal. I love you, brother.
Yeah, thank you, Kyle. Thanks for the kind words, too. I appreciate that. We have news from Sabres practice today. It's really good news, actually. Let me just make sure. Here we go. Paul Hamilton, at PHAM1717. Not only is Jason Zucker in the morning skate with a non-contact jersey sweater, so is Josh Norris. Josh Norris and Jason Zucker in non-contact sweaters. So anyway, non-contact. So you can't hit them, obviously, but they're starting to skate, which is really good news. I don't know. I'm a bit surprised by this, Owen. I'm not sure if you thought that it happened this soon. Norris has kind of been out of sight, out of mind for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the thing with Norris is it's an upper body.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily surprising me that he's skating already.
Yes,
and
I gotcha.
I mean, the timeline was like 8 weeks, and yep. I don't know, what are we, 5 weeks since it happened?
So probably still a little time before that he can come back, but
exactly.
Not like he's playing tonight against the Oilers, but this is very positive news.
Right. I think it's definitely a good sign that he's skating, especially with a guy that's had the history that he's had. Like, it would be very easy for something else to have gone wrong in the recovery process that would delay that, so it's great to see that that didn't happen. But I would still assume that he's a couple of weeks away and just kind of working back in to get his legs under him. And you can always get back out there quicker when you got an upper body thing going on than when you got a lower body, because you can skate.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the time you'll see if, you know, goalies will often do it if they've got like a shoulder injury, which is really common. They'll go skate with just their lower half on and just to get their feet on the ice.
The other big news we're getting here, not with the Sabres, but this isn't going to sit well with a lot of Bills fans. Some are going to be like, I don't care. But some of you will be like, come on, give me a break. Apparently, Jimmy Charlo has worked out for the Patriots.
Oh, of course.
Jimmy Charlo working out for the Patriots. Doesn't mean that they've signed him. They could, though.
That's I mean, they
went
cut
to
him
enemy
loose.
Territory. You know,
they cut him loose.
The Bills play the Patriots in a few weeks, but you know, we'll see. Hey, what's the deal? Do either of you know? Like, have you read anything or seen anything on Aaron Rodgers' situation? I just know that there's thought that he broke his left wrist. Would he actually play? Did anybody have anything on this?
Schefter was reporting that it's likely, and there's a chance it could be. In my update here, I'm just pulling it up. He reports that there's a concern that Rodgers may have a slight break. And that's the quote, a slight break in his left wrist. So not his throwing arm, which is good, I guess.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
But
right,
but I mean, I don't know. You can't. I mean, Josh Allen. People thought Josh Allen might have had a broken hand last year, that left hand in the Arizona game. I mean, he was dealing with something, and remember, he never gave handoffs with his left hand.
Yep.
Yeah,
it matters a lot. I mean, that would be. I'm pretty confident about the Bills' chances with Rodgers on the Steelers, but I think that losing Rodgers would obviously bolster the Bills' look at winning that game in
the Bills,
2 weeks.
The Bills play at Pittsburgh the weekend of Thanksgiving. They have the Texans coming up here in a couple of days on Thursday, and then it's 10 days, and it's Thanksgiving the following Thursday, and then the Steelers on Sunday. That week. We'll keep you updated on that, as well as what's going on with the Sabres. Sabres do play tonight at home against Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers. That game starts at 7 p.m. Big comeback by the Sabres against the Red Wings to close out their road trip after a couple of losses where they really had a lead against Utah, tied it up against Colorado, but maybe today they can get a victory against the Oilers and climb a couple more points higher, because they're still sitting near the bottom, but it's still pretty packed up there, and there is some opportunity. We'll have the pregame for you here at 6. Puck drops at 7 on WGR. Let's go to Craig, who's up next. Hi, Craig. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. Real quick, my question is, there's been a lot of talk about how well the offense did yesterday with the lack of Keon Coleman in the lineup, but Dalton Kincaid was also not in the lineup, and there's been talk that the offense is too predictable when he is on the field. So I'm wondering, did that have any, play on the or effect on the success that the offense had? Or am I just...
Well, I think you could, you could draw that line. There's no doubt, Craig. I would say it this way, though, to me, if that's the case, and I agree with you, there have been some things that people put out there and said, look, when he's on the field, they're passing. When he's not on the field, they're running. But I would rather have Dalton Kincaid healthy and on the field. That's, to me, up to Joe Brady then. Don't be so predictable, right? Break your tendencies. That, to me, isn't a Dalton Kincaid issue. That's a Joe Brady issue if they're too predictable when he's on the field. You got to break that tendency, because Dalton Kincaid is still your best pass catcher at this point. You know what I mean? So I think I'd rather have him healthy and out there, but you can't just make it where every time he's out there, they know what's happening. You know what I mean?
Is he really a liability in pass protection or run blocking? Is he really that?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I just think that the other guys, they really trust to be able to do that. And the fact that he's on the field and can threaten the defense. Here's what I think happens, Craig, is when he's on the field, the defense figures we're not going to be able to we have to keep someone home on him, right? So that gives you an extra guy, one less guy maybe coming at Josh or something like that. And I just think it's a matchup game.
Gotcha. All right.
Yeah. And he's not, he's not the super strongest guy against the run, but he's done a nice job this year, much better than he did his first couple years in the league. We know that. We've seen some things from earlier in the year. So I don't think that they don't trust him at all in those situations. I think that that's Jackson Hawes and Dawson Knox. And by the way, Dawson Knox got pretty much, you know, he got three quarters of the snaps yesterday compared to Jackson Hawes. So interesting the way the Bills went about it against a very, very good run defense against the Bucs. It's almost like the Bills knew that they would have a lot of trouble running yesterday and said, we got to throw. And that's our path. And they were right about that. And I give Joe Brady credit for it. They did start to run the ball a little bit better. But next week, folks, they're playing another really, really tough defense coming in on Thursday, going to Houston. Not the same type of offense, though. The difference between the Bucs and the Texans when it comes to that is the Texans can kind of do everything really, really well on defense. Where the Bucs, they were lacking in the pass defense part, but they were excellent in the run defense part of the game. You want to know what the Texans are? Number one in the league in overall defense yards given up. Number three in the league in overall rushing yards. Number three in the league in overall passing yards. Yeah, this will be a test. Fourth in the league in interception rate. 11th in sacks per pass attempt. Third in third down conversions given up percentage-wise. The Texans are number one in the NFL, allowing just 16.3 points a game. That's who the Bills are going up against on Thursday. This might be a game where you say points are at a premium, low scoring, control the ball, do not give extra opportunities with turnovers, play field position. It's not sexy, I get it, but you might have to win it that way, especially on a short week when you know, you don't know who's healthy, who's not, and guys getting back. All right, we'll take a timeout. Kathy, stay with me. Peter, I'll get right to both of you when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday on WGR. All right, back to the phone lines we go here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Kathy has been waiting patiently in Williamsville. Hi, Kathy.
Hey, Sal. How are you? Good morning. Thank Good morning. You so much for taking my call. So I was all upbeat until you started talking about the Houston game. So, oh my gosh, now you have me worried.
It's okay. It'll be a tough challenge, right?
Yeah. So I wanted to just do a quick shout out. Number one, I wanted to recognize Deion Dawkins. I would have been down there if I could have been on Friday. So thrilled for him. Just such a great spirit he has about him. Also, I just wanted to shout out to the Bills Mafia, the fans that were at the game yesterday. I had two out-of-town guests. One happened to be a Bucs fan. Buffalo Bills is their second team, but the fans around us, there was one individual specifically behind us who could not have been more gracious and good-hearted with friendly jabs back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of ours was like, oh my gosh, that guy made the game for me. I mean, that just really speaks volumes to our mafia and just how supportive. The other friend was like, oh my gosh, I just love your fans. They're so awesome. Everybody loves their team. And so I would just hope that that would carry over. You know, I was looking at the stats even from last year, and I was like, gosh, we lose a game, and everybody is like, they're the worst team ever. Get rid of the coaches. Get rid of the players. I'm like, oh, my God, their stats are not that bad. So I just would hope that we would really believe like we say we do and not be so, so negative. Critiquing is great, but that's my comment. But I love your show. Thank you so much.
Can I just tell you something, Kathy? It's very ironic. Because I also have friends in town this week from Florida, and my friend is a Buccaneers fan, and they came up for a trip. They had never been up here to Buffalo, and they went to the game, and they had an amazing experience. And even though his team lost, they both had an amazing experience.
Exactly.
So thank you. Thank you for bringing that up, because it's awesome when that happens. Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate your call.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you. Let's go to Peter in New Jersey. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
So I'm going to make 2 points, and then I'll listen for your comments. So basically, on that third down play to Shakir, I know we got the face mask. But I saw the formation. I knew right away it was going to be the bubble screen. I don't like that play. I know we had success, but the reason why we had success, it wasn't Shakir out there on the bubble screen. It was Ty Johnson. So the Tampa didn't expect that. But if they hadn't got that face mask question, right, the score, we were up by five. Would he have gone for it, McDermott, or kicked a field goal, which would have put us up by eight? And would he have made a different decision if Josh had converted on a two-point conversion? Because then a field goal there puts us up by, 10, I think. But, yeah, we would have been up by 10 and put the game away. So that's the first point. The second point is, I think Todd Bowles, because he's a defensive coach, he put too much pride, I guess, to think his defense could stop the Bills when he punted away. I think he should have went for it, the way the Bills were moving the ball. So I'll stop there. But those
which punt did he on that one?
Oh, when the Bills had taken the lead 37, maybe had a third down play, I think from his own 35, a fourth down in three or something.
Okay, yeah, it's tough. It's
a punt, and then the Bills got the ball back and went down on the drive with 7 minutes to go to put it away at the 44.
Yeah, fourth and two from their own 39. I could see that for sure. I mean, the other part about it, though, Peter, hey, you're right. The face mask is called, but look, I mean, this is football, right? The Bills got called for a penalty and a field goal, and it should have been a penalty. They blocked the field goal. I mean, you know, and it gave them a free 3 points. So you play the woulda, shoulda game all day, and, you know, that's a penalty, and it went their way. But I don't know if Sean would have gone for it there. It's a good question. You know, is that something you can ask him right now? But and the game is yesterday. Maybe we can find out today, but we'll see. But thanks, Peter. I appreciate the phone call. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back with one more hour of your phone call. Sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, view from the sidelines. Everything up next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, including your phone calls on WGR. Lots of highlights yesterday from the Bills' 44-32 victory over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was basically the same week, right around the same week, as that Vikings game a couple years ago that did not end the Bills' way after a back-and-forth affair. This one, 9 lead changes, comes out the Bills' way, right? And we haven't seen that happen in a lot of these games over the years, generally on the other side of those games of the year, right? The Chiefs, of course, in the playoffs, and the Vikings game, the Rams game last year. But this one did. The win against Baltimore did week one. That was great. And you never know. I mean, it's one game, and it doesn't matter you know how it happens. It's getting another W in the win column. The Bills go to 8-3. Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday. Sal Capaccio with you on WGR, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com and by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. You can give a call here today. Open phone lines now, as we always do on a Monday, 803-0550. We're going to wrap this game up, move on to the next game, because it's going to happen in just a few days from now. Thursday night football, Bills at Texans. Very, very good Texans defense the Bills are going against. We'll find out more this week if C.J. Stroud will be available. He's missed a couple of games in concussion protocol for the Texans. Davis Mills threw 41 times yesterday against the Tennessee Titans. Speaking of C.J. Stroud, him being injured in concussion protocol, not playing. Let's get to the Barnes Firm injury report. Brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. That's who we're watching mostly on the Texans side. And of course, anything else that comes up on the Bills side, it's really, I think, probably Mecole Hardman from this game. That's it. His calf injury. He had the fumble and we didn't see him after that. Thought it was because he put the ball on the ground. He said, no, it was more because of the calf injury. He was ruled out. Quick turnaround. Not sure we're going to see Mecole Hardman yet. This Thursday on a quick turnaround, did not get any other injuries on the sidelines yesterday during the game. I will note that some of you pointed out that Cole Bishop did not play the last series or so. And then it was looking, he was stretching his hamstrings on the sidelines. So we'll see if there's anything with that today when Sean McDermott meets with the media later this afternoon. But obviously, Mecole Hardman from the game. Now, independent of this game happening, other injuries, notable injuries we're watching this week for the Bills, of course, Dalton Kincaid. Hamstring, we'll see if it's too early for him. You put him out there now, and you know, maybe you can, but if not, then he gets another 10 days before the next game. And then you also have, of course, Shaq Thompson, and seeing if he's going to be available in this game. So there's a few notable players on the Bills side we'll be watching out for, and we'll give you the updates as the week goes on. That's the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. We are live streaming right now on the YouTube channel and on Twitch. Head over there, WGR550 on YouTube, and say hello. Nick and Josh and Walter and X Element and that guy Ty, AC. Who else we got in here? Gabe, as always, Nick and Depew. A lot of you. Thank you very much for coming aboard. Love it. All right. You keep the chat box going there. I'll keep the phone calls rolling with Adam in Indiana. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Sal. Good morning.
Good morning.
I think it was encouraging to see that we were throwing the ball down the field, and you might have touched base on it already, but I don't think I could take another snap of a wide receiver bubble screen. You know, they were way too often, I think. And when's the last time that we've thrown a running back screen. You know, with Cook in the backfield, his yak yards, do we have the personnel to do that?
Well, they tried one again. I could tell you they tried one against Kansas City. They got blown up badly.
Okay.
I'm not saying they should never try it. I agree. I'd like to see it more. I just don't know if it's in their arsenal to run it effectively, and I don't know why. You know what I mean? Like, that's just – they have an athletic enough offensive line, but, you know, there's a lot that goes into those. But, yeah, they did try one against Kansas City that I remember got blown up pretty badly.
Okay. And do you see the Coleman issue? I'm not going to get super deep into that, but do you see Gabe Davis maybe taking a starting role over Keon and – putting him either on the outside, and then also, say, Hardman comes in with his calf injury. I don't know what the timeline is on that, but do you see him more of a Isaiah McKenzie role with the jet sweeps and the speed game?
Mecole Hardman, that is, you're talking about? Yeah, I guess you could say that. Elijah Moore's been that guy. I think Mecole Hardman's here to return punts and kicks. That's what I think. He's here to return punts and kicks, and then you throw him in there once in a while to be that guy, maybe. That's for sure. As far as Gabe Davis starting role, maybe he'll play more. You get three elevations with Gabe Davis, so he can be elevated three times. Mecole Hardman's already on the 53. He's your punt returner taking place of Brandon Codrington. We'll see where that goes. I don't know. I think Tyrell Shavers is the guy you point to as the starter, right? The starter over... but he's been a starter. He's actually been on the field more. I think I mispronounced. I missaid. Thanks to Coach Ronald who texted me. Always the teacher in you, Coach. Correcting me, saying, Sal, you said 8-3. Maybe you're predicting a victory in Houston. They would be 8-3 if they win. They're 7-3 now, so my apologies on that. But that's right. Always the teacher listening. But I appreciate the attentiveness on that. And to you at 803-0550, Alex in Rockland County. Hi, Alex. By the way, real quick, getting connected there via text or tweet or call and anything. It's getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Now, here you go, Alex. I'm sorry about that.
All good. Good morning. Yeah. 2 points, one offense, one defense. On offense, I was really concerned heading into this game with no Kincaid and no Shakir. No Kincaid and no Palmer. And then those were our top three targets heading into the season. Heading into this game was Kincaid.
Hold on. Palmer played. Do you mean Coleman?
I meant heading into the game. Palmer did play, but we didn't know.
Oh, that's right. He was trending pretty well. But I get it. I get your overall point, though, for sure.
Yeah. So I love to see the way we use the running backs. That was one of our staples last year. Getting the running backs in the receiving game. But I had two questions. One question and a 1 point on defense. Shavers, he's 26 years old. He's not a young kid.
Yep.
Right? He's been around. He's been on the practice squad. You know, really kind of a great story to just kind of never quit, just keep grinding and being patient. And good things happen, like McDermott said, when you work hard, you know, you get the ball. And he's definitely put in the work. But I want to hear your thoughts about Shavers, just because I don't have a lot of tape on him. I don't know exactly what kind of game he has. And I have one more point on defense. I don't know if you want me to wait.
Go ahead, and I'll address everything. Go ahead.
So I'm really, really happy to see that Poyer and White are on this team, but not for what they do on the field. And yes, Poyer has been stepping up, but how they have been being mentors and the coaches without being a coach. You know, it's no secret that Poyer has helped tremendously get Cole Bishop. I got the wrong Cole. Cole Bishop step up, and Hairston is really kind of coming into his own a little bit. So the future of our DBs is looking great, and I think that was brilliant by McDermott or whoever to bring on these two vets. That was the point on defense. But really, if you can give me some insight on Shavers, would love to kind of hear more about this kid, because I'm starting to fall in love.
You know, he's not slow. When he was coming out of high school, he was timed at a sub-4.4 guy. He's not quite maybe there right now anymore. I don't know. He's 26 years old. But he's a guy that can still run. And I think the biggest thing about him that I think about is his demeanor. He is a no-nonsense business guy. What I mean by that is I was so struck, Alex, about this young man and the way that he responded yesterday, just in the post-game interview, the locker room. He never, and I know this about Tyrell. I've gotten to know Tyrell a little bit over the last few years, obviously, being here. He just never gets too high, and he never gets too low. And I love that about his demeanor. And he's so grounded, and he is such a hard worker that he deserves everything that's coming to him right now. Now, on the field, his hands are what separate. He has great hands, and I think he understands the nuances of playing the a position at the NFL level, and you saw that yesterday with him taking it upfield. What's funny, Alex, is he said that's not what he's normally supposed to do when Josh on the scramble drill, but he looked, he peeked, he saw an opening, and he took off, and Josh saw him, and I love that about him. So there you go, buddy. Hope that helps.
Thank you so much, man. You that was awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. I'm telling you, I know it might not mean a hill of beans to a lot of people to say this because it's, you know, it's the off the field stuff. This kid's demeanor is great. I call him a kid. He's 26. I mean, he's been around. He's been here for 3 years. He's older than Gabe Davis, I think, right? Or just the same age as Gabe Davis, whatever. They're the same age. You wouldn't even know that. And he just never gets too high, never gets too low. I love Tyrell Shavers for that. Team player, hard worker. You want to know about Tyrell Shavers? Watch him play special teams. Maybe Tyrell Shavers is the Mac Hollins replacement that everybody's upset that they don't have Mac Hollins anymore. I don't know. Maybe he's a Keon Coleman replacement after what we saw yesterday. By the way, speaking of Keon Coleman and the situation yesterday, I'll read you this. This is from Dan Duggan, who is a writer for The Athletic, covers the NFL, says his sources say Giants rookie linebacker Abdul Carter was benched for the opening drive of yesterday's loss to the Packers for missing a walkthrough. He was asleep at the team facility at the time of the walkthrough. Abdul Carter, who I would say is definitely making more of an impact on the field than Keon Coleman has. So there you go. Another guy. Young player. I mean, you gotta be mature enough and professional enough, and not everybody has the same timeline on that, but it's gotta happen now for Keon. It's gotta happen now. You can't, you're in the middle of a season, you're trying to win. This team talking about this today, dealing with this today, is not what we want to be talking about and dealing with. I'm sure they don't. Should be talking about a Buffalo football victory Monday. And we are, but this is a part of the storyline and it shouldn't be. Let's go to Anthony in North Carolina. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, Sal. Thank you for taking my call. I want to talk about how, Josh Allen and the passing game, man, there looked like there was a huge resurgence. And also, I was going to ask, is this the version of Josh Allen and the offense, you know, we thought we'd see all season? I mean, that's what it looks like to me, you know. But honestly, I thought it was very, very electric the way Josh Allen was playing and the way the wide receivers were playing. But I'll hang up and listen. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, I mean, I would think 300 plus yards passing and 6 touchdowns is absolutely a version we'd love to see and thought we'd see, right? It just hasn't come to fruition, a lot of that. So, yeah, for sure. I mean, like, it is an offense that looked more efficient and more comfortable and more fluid yesterday in so many ways. 803-0550 is the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. We do have some open phone lines, and we have time for your calls. But first, let's get to Tony in Buffalo. Hi, Tony.
Hey, what's going on, Sal? Sal, we all know the importance of continuity on the offensive line. My question is going to switch to the other side of the ball and the shuffling in and out, largely due to injury and some suspension, especially on the interior. Is it possible that it's just a matter of getting some time together as a unit, despite the in and out that's a part of that unit? Could we see an improvement to the run defense just from getting some continuity together, on the defensive front? And if, you know, aside from that, who are our best run defenders right now? Like if you had to, I mean, I guess we probably couldn't go Ogunjobi and Daquan Jones, you know, on a regular basis because you might not get a push up the middle.
Well, I think Deion Walker is probably, you know, becoming that guy, but he's also more of a boom or bust guy at times. You know, he's a rookie and he's still learning a little bit. But you see the talent, you see the tackles for loss, and then every once in a while you'll see him also get, you know, taken out of a gap where he's supposed to be, you know, because he takes the wrong angle or something like that and doesn't attack it right. That's part of being a rookie. I think Ogunjobi is probably like Daquan Jones is just a, you know, kind of a consistent, steady guy, but I do agree. Let's go to your main point, Tony. I agree with you. And I will tell you, yes, it does matter. It matters, the continuity. Now, you are dealing with a coach and a defensive system that they love to rotate those guys anyway, simply just to keep everybody fresh. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when you're shuffling the roster and you're not playing next to the same person all the time, that matters because you do understand the different nuances of that guy and you and how you play together. It is a defense that relies on everybody understanding each other's roles. Hope that helps.
It does.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the phone call. We go from one Tony to another Tony. Hi, Tony.
I guess I'm the Tony.
You're the Tony. Yes.
I was just wondering about Trey White. Since he's obviously slowed down a little bit, why not think about converting him to safety like they did with Abe Woodson and some of those other all-pro guys?
I would say we have asked the Bills about this in the past. That was something that they said is not going to happen. And I would say the biggest reason is because he's not physical enough. He's not big enough. The Bills ask their safeties to play downhill. They ask their safeties to play in a box. Now, if it's, let's say, a 3rd and 18 and you want to put a guy back there to be able to kind of roam, that's a little different. But if you're talking about an actual safety, I just don't think Trey White is big enough or physical enough to be able to do that. That's not his game, especially not in this system where the Bills ask, think about the safeties that play. Cole Bishop, look what he does. Tony, right? Look at Jordan Poyer, Damar Hamlin. That is not Tre'Davious White.
Yeah, I agree. I can't dispute that.
Yeah, so that would be the reason that I would say for that. 803-0550. We'll get to your wrap up of week number 11 here in a little while, because week number 12 gets going with a bang with the Bills on Thursday night. And of course, it's all going to be right here on WGR Sports Radio 550 and on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Speaking of on the radio network, we have the Sabres Radio Network tonight. They're taking on the Western Conference champs two times over, the Edmonton Oilers, and Connor McDavid. And Lindy Ruff, after practice today, said that Michael Kesering is still being evaluated some more today, expected to miss some time. Jason Zucker may be back by the weekend. And Josh Norris is progressing and ahead of schedule. So that's good news. Norris and Zucker on the ice today for the morning skate in non-contact jerseys. So, you know, we'll hope that those guys keep progressing, and hopefully Kesselring isn't really bad, because I know that he was in a boot, I guess, the other day after the game, and Lindy Ruff said it didn't look good, but we'll get more information as they go forward. Sabres Oilers tonight, 7 o'clock here on WGR. Griffin is on a cell. Hi, Griffin.
Hey, Sal. Happy Victory Monday. I just got a quick thing I want to mention. I want to see how you might defend it. Do you think that there's a culture issue with Sean McDermott playing the Bills play up to their opponents and then also playing down to their opponents? Because the losses this year, the teams that really shouldn't have lost to, and then these wins, like outstanding wins against the Chiefs, against the Bucks, the Ravens, it looks like two completely different teams that they're just, sometimes they're ready for it, and other times they just sleeping on the field.
Well, obviously you believe that. Why have you not? Have you? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you didn't even give me a chance to how you described defend it. I think it's no. The answer is no. I wish you would have stayed on the line, because I would have asked you, why do you think there's a culture issue when you talk about that this year, when they have won five straight division titles and they have beaten a lot of good teams along the way to do that. So they win, 12, 13 games. You're going to drop a game once in a while. It sucks, and they definitely have not played their best against some of the teams. So you want me to defend it? I'm not. I just think that you're wrong. We'll take a timeout. 803-0550. Let's not take a timeout right now. We'll do that. We'll stay right here right now, because we're a little bit early on that. But anyway, just say no. I wish you would have stayed on the line, because you could have told me why you think there's a culture problem. Now, if you want to tell me that, hey, they have, in a vacuum, they've played better against the better teams like the Chiefs, the Bucks. They've played lesser against the lesser teams like the Dolphins or the Saints, even though you win the game. Hey, absolutely. Is that a culture problem? No. Might be just the fact that you're not as good as teams in the past that just boat race everybody. And maybe there's what we've called before a playoff fatigue, inability at times compared to years past to maybe get up for every single game the way you used to. I don't know. I definitely would not say there's a culture problem, though. I think the culture is very strong in Buffalo, and it has been for years. And I think anybody who's watched this team, who's been around this team, would say that. So, but you could feel differently, obviously, Griffin. Let's go to Kevin in Buffalo. Hi, Kevin.
Sal, what's going on, baby? Bills Monday victory. Listen, I mean, I was looking at the stats, and I saw that Jordan Poyer had 21 tackles.
No, he didn't. He had 11.
He had 11. I'm sorry. He had 11 tackles.
21 would be one heck of a – that'd be an amazing stat right there. He had 11.
Right, but you had Jordan, you got your safety making 11 tackles.
Yeah.
That's not good, man.
Yeah, I agree.
And I was watching 58. I'm drawing a blank on
that's Matt Milano.
Milano. He looked totally out of place. That's not the same Matt Milano that first came here. He's just, I mean, guys, he was looked like he was just whiffing guys. I'm like, Milano, what are you doing, bro? But again, we go back to our front line, that shuffling, moving guys around, moving guys in and out. How can a guy get used to another guy next to him when he's in one play and out the next? Because on a couple of those runs, they were like just your basic runs where guys was just like, hey, wait a minute, isn't you supposed to be over there? Aren't you supposed to be? You know, it's like, are you kidding me? If we don't shore up that defense and being able to look at the run, teams are going to exploit that and kill us. You get a good running back. That guy, what was he, like a fourth rounder?
Well, I mean, teams have done that all year. I mean, they're one of the worst run defenses in the league. I mean, you know what I mean? It's not nothing new that's been happening, Kevin. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but we got to fit. Man, we talking about, you know, playing. But I tell you what was good for me to see. Actually see Josh when he scored that last touchdown, the way he let out that scream.
Yeah.
That scream was like, yes!
Yeah.
I'm hoping that's the scream that gets everybody back on track.
I got you, buddy. It was good emotion for sure. I love that. Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, that was good to see that emotion come out of him. Let's go to Jordan, who's up next. Hi, Jordan. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Good morning. How are you? Happy Victory Monday.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks, buddy. I just want to talk about Gabe being back in our lineup here. I've always been a big fan of Gabe. Very happy to see him come under some different circumstances yesterday. That's, you know, we can talk about that a later date, but you know, great to see him make a big catch on the first drive. You know, everyone calls him Big Game Gabe. I just think he's going to have a difference here in our lineup coming future. And, you know, naturally had a drop there for in the end zone in the first couple drives. But I think it's good to have on the squad. I'm happy to have him back and, you know, have back all of our senior guys that, you know, we once did away with, but on the way back home.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. No problem. Thank you. And, I think Gabe Davis can make a difference as well. There was a play in this game that might be a little nondescript. Might be a third down, though. It was a, you know, a catch, maybe a conversion. But there was a play where Josh rolled out to his right. Bills were moving right to left, by the way, on this, if you're watching at home. From their bench going right to left. And Josh rolls to his right, a little off script. And Gabe just kind of finds the soft spot in the zone and just settles down a little bit. And Josh finds him and he hits him. And I thought to myself, man, that's just like something's been missing. He knew exactly where to be, exactly when to be there. And he did. And it was great. And I think that's exactly what Gabe Davis brings to the table for the Buffalo Bills. Plus a willing blocker, a guy that you play in any situation. And it just looked differently yesterday. And I do think it looked different because you had Shavers and you had Gabe Davis who kind of understand those nuances. And it doesn't matter what's happening at every play. There's maximum effort, attention to detail, and understanding the job and the role. And that's what you weren't getting from Keon Coleman maybe on the field sometimes. And now you get the issue with him being late, has a discipline issue, and I do think everything's on the table for me to think about how they might react and treat this going forward, whether or not he's active, not active, all that stuff that comes into play now Thursday night. Maybe this becomes the best thing that's ever happened to Keon Coleman. You hope that's the case, that he understands, he learns, and he says, I'm right now, bam, growing up, doing everything I'm supposed to do, becoming a professional, taking charge of what I can take charge of and control. Maybe that's the best thing. Maybe it's the best thing that ever happened for him. Because the alternative is to keep happening. You can't have him as a part of the lineup, much less part of the team, if it continues to happen. And you don't want to go down that road. So let's hope that's not the case, and we'll see where it goes this week. We'll hear from Sean McDermott at 3:30 p.m. today when he meets with the media, followed by coordinators. The Bills have a short week this week. They will have a normal Wednesday practice moved to Tuesday this week. So normally Tuesday's the day off for players as they lead into a Sunday game. That's not the case this week. Tomorrow will be their kind of main practice day where we'll get injuries. And then Sean McDermott, Bills head coach, will be on with me on Wednesday this week on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. What we're going to do on Wednesday is, because of travel day, Zach and Derek will host the Extra Point Show, but I will have Sean McDermott, and you'll be hearing the injuries firsthand from him on Wednesday. In the meantime, we got a full Monday to take care of still, and still a half hour left at 803-0550. A extra point from the sidelines, sit up, stand down, hey buddy, and a look around the league after this timeout on WGR. All right, let's get to our extra point from the sidelines, brought to you by Catholic Health, the right way to care. Bills going with their throwback AFL uniforms yesterday, and just notable that it's the last time they're wearing those inside this stadium. Because the next time they wear something different will be basically the last game of the year, the red helmets against the Jets. So that's it. So you got You got the home game against the Bengals, home game against the Eagles, and then a home game against the Jets. Bengals and Eagles, nothing that we know of as far as uniform combos or switches. Be blue and white in some capacity, regular helmets. And then you got the Jets, that game, that's going to be the red charging Red Buffaloes, the 90s throwbacks. So this was it. What do you like? You like the Standing Buffalo, the white ones, the yesterday's look?
I like the AFL throwbacks, yeah. Like that. I do. I think the Standing Red Buffalo is something different you don't get very much of. And I'm excited for the red helmets. I'm honestly looking forward most to that because I think I prefer the red helmets, just the look they have with the jersey and everything like that. So
yeah.
I'm excited.
I thought they looked really clean yesterday. And I was interested what the Bucks were going to wear yesterday, and they go with the dark. That would have been really cool if they wore their creamsicles. But
do they have the orange creamsicles?
They
now?
Do still. They wore still them. Do? They've worn them this year. Yeah.
Okay. I thought they went to the white ones. I didn't know if they like traded one for the other kind of a thing.
Oh, are you saying they have the creamsicles, but it's not? It's just the white creamsicles.
Yeah.
I thought they wore the orange ones. I think they still do, but yeah. I think they do. I think we've seen that this year, but I have to go back and look. Either way, the point is. That's your extra point from the sidelines. Good, clean look by the Bills yesterday for the final time ever inside this stadium wearing their AFL throwback uniforms. We'll see what they have going forward inside the new Highmark Stadium. All right, let's get to week number 11 in the National Football League. It started Thursday night. We talked about it, the Patriots against the Jets. Patriots win 27-14 to go 9-2. Since then, the Patriots have put Milton Williams on injured reserve. That is a notable loss on their defensive line, their best run defender, basically. They have the Bills and the Ravens in the four-game window in which he will have to miss with a high ankle sprain. Sunday started off with the Dolphins winning another game. Not only they beat the Bills, then they go to Madrid, Spain, to take care of the Washington Commanders in overtime. Riley Patterson, a 29-yard field goal in overtime to win it for the Dolphins over the Washington Commanders. Devon Achane, 120 yards rushing.
They went for it from their own like 2-yard line a couple times and got stuffed. Especially in that last one, too.
Wait, say that again. What happened?
The Miami was continually trying to go for it from their, like, right at knocking on the door to the end zone on fourth down.
Oh, not their own two. You said their own two.
Sorry.
Okay, got you. Yeah.
The knocking on the door to the end zone, and they just couldn't convert. They couldn't get in there, yeah.
Really? Okay,
it was
well,
more like who was trying to lose the game more than win the game.
I didn't see it. I was, as that game was winding down, we were doing a roundtable on the field, so I didn't see that. But Miami now improves to 4-7. The Commanders fall to 3-8. Very, very disappointing season right now in Washington. Also a disappointing season in Atlanta. How the heck did the Bills lose to the Atlanta Falcons? They're now 3-7 after the Carolina Panthers, the Bills beat them 30-27, also in overtime in this game. The Panthers only 45 yards rushing from Rico Dowdle. Bryce Young, however, how about this? 448 yards passing and 3 touchdowns. How'd the Bills not just take care of the Falcons, man. It's crazy to think about, right?
There's a little bit of news out of that game.
Okay.
Adam Schefter, Michael Penix, suffered a potential season-ending knee injury.
Whoa.
So that's what Adam Schefter
And Drake
reported.
London has a PCL sprain.
Yep.
I'm sorry, PCL sprain.
Yeah, not great.
Yeah, he's going to miss at least a week. Bijan Robinson, 104 yards. Penix, 175. So that means Kirk Cousins will take over. That sucks for Michael Penix, for sure. All right, the Jags, man, all over the Chargers. The Chargers, they just aren't this team that everybody always thinks they're going to be, but they can still play well. They can still win games. I know they're out. They're without offensive linemen, their two tackles. But, man, you can't go to Jacksonville and lose to that Jaguars team 35-6. Just goes to show you in the NFL, man. Trevor Lawrence, only 153 yards passing, a touchdown and an interception. Justin Herbert, 81 yards passing. Oh, Trey Lance came in. Did Justin Herbert get hurt? Oh, is that because of the end of the game? Maybe they just took him out?
It might have been. Okay. I didn't see anything about Herbert getting injured.
Justin Herbert, have you seen his numbers? 10 of 18 for 81 yards and an interception against the Jags.
That is absolutely gross.
I had Herbert on fantasy playing, yeah. And on my bench I had Bryce Young. So
wow,
I had the 450-yard day.
No one
Young,
can really blame you for that, though.
That's logical.
Well, 100%.
And you can't blame yourself for that.
Sometimes you get stuffed in that.
100%.
That
my
was
gosh.
A frustrating.
Justin afternoon. Herbert was also, by the way, the Chargers' leading rusher with 21 yards.
That screams offensive line in shambles.
Yeah.
Me.
For sure.
Yes.
How about the Bears? They're finding ways to win. You look at the Bears this year. They're 7-3. They're winning close games. They're starting to put it together. And they beat a good Vikings team on the road in Minnesota. Caleb Williams, 193 yards, efficient, not great day. J.J. McCarthy, 150 yards, but a pair of touchdowns, so a couple of turnovers there. The Bears get 90 yards on the ground from DeAndre Swift. Justin Jefferson, 5 for 61, but held out of the end zone, and only 17 points for the Vikings, who fall to 4-6 now. The Bears at 7-3 and taking a charge in that NFC North because they're a half game ahead of the Green Bay Packers, who are 6-3-1, who beat the New York Giants their first game without Brian Daboll after being fired last week. The Packers, 174 yards passing and two touchdowns, from Jordan Love. Or here's another one for you. Why did Malik Willis play in this game? Somebody want to tell me that one?
Jordan
I'm looking
Love,
at the numbers.
He did go down earlier in the game. He left the game with an injury earlier.
And then he came back?
And then came back.
Okay.
Josh Jacobs left and did not
This
come
is
back.
What happens when I'm so dialed in with the Bills and everything going on. I have no idea that these things happen. I see the stats. I'm like, wait a minute. Why did Malik Willis go 2 for 2 for 6 yards?
Yeah. Yeah.
He did, though. He went 2 for 2. And a touchdown. He threw a touchdown. Malik Willis. For the New York Giants. It was Jameis Winston letting it rip. Not really. 19 of 29, 201 yards and one interception. Owen Parker, do you know who the leading receiver was for the New York Giants in this game?
Oh. Theo Johnson.
Isaiah Hodgins.
Wow. I should have got that.
Hodgins.
I should have got there.
Was the leading receiver. That's right. Of Buffalo Bills preseason lore. Isaiah Hodgins.
He was awesome.
I liked Isaiah Hodgins a lot, but he never did enough to be right. The guy like a Tyrell Shavers.
Exactly.
It's
the same
spot. Same
thing. You just
right.
never
that's right. That's right.
quite took off the way Shavers
And then he was
has.
Released. Now he's back with them, by
right,
the way, right?
Right.
Pittsburgh Steelers. We're going to have to find out what's going on with Aaron Rodgers and his possible broken wrist, his left wrist. They win 34-12. Rodgers, 9 of 15, 116 yards. Mason Rudolph comes in, 12 of 16, 127 yards. So between the two of them, pretty nice day passing. And then running the football, Jalen Warren with 62 yards, 6.2 yards a carry on 10 carries. Chase Brown goes for 99 for the Bengals, but it's not enough because Joe Flacco throws for less than 200 yards, throws a touchdown, but also an interception. And of course, a big story out of this game is the fight, alleged spitting incident, Jamar Chase, Jalen Ramsey. I don't know. I hate even getting into that stuff and saying what happened, what didn't happen, because I see some video and I'm like, I think he did. I don't know. He says he didn't. It's just...
Yeah.
It's a bad look.
That was
it's a bad look.
Very bad. And then they got into it pretty good after that.
They had a couple of different times, right? I believe that they went at it. 34-12, the Steelers win. They're 6-4 and trying to stay ahead of the Ravens in the North, but they're definitely ahead of the Bengals now, who fall to 3-7. Speaking of the Ravens, they did win after a tough go of it. They were down 10 to the Cleveland Browns, but they come back 23-16 in this game. Lamar throws for 193, two interceptions. Derrick Henry does have 103 yards and a touchdown. For the Cleveland Browns, Shedeur Sanders comes in. He goes 4 of 16 for 47 yards in relief of Dylan Gabriel. And the story is, this is the first time, even in preseason and in training camp, this is the first time Shedeur Sanders takes reps with the number one offense. How is that possible? How is it possible?
Yeah, that's
I just get the feeling that the owner wanted to draft him and the coach wanted no part of him. That's just my thought, or the GM.
Even on draft day,
right?
When they showed the room.
Yes.
And they were
exactly.
just flat, completely flat.
Yes. It's all just like, oh.
They're like, he's like,
wasted
you gotta draft
this resource. 100%. That we had.
Yeah,
100%.
Now
they're all, you know. It's
and then
all
they and then they
back.
Traded Pickett, right? And like,
yep.
And now we'll see. Maybe the Bills get Sanders when they play each other. Quinshon Judkins with 59 yards rushing. The Browns fall to 2-8. The Ravens move to 5-5 now. If you look at this Ravens schedule, they have opportunity, and they're only a game behind the Steelers. Is that game next week? Do they play each other? Ooh, I have to take a look at that right now. But, let me just see real quick. Ravens, Steelers.
It'd be Bills, Steelers next week, technically, right?
Ravens, where do they? No, they have the Jets, then the Bengals, then the Steelers.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
So the Ravens have an opportunity here to really win some
they're,
games.
They're in good shape. I mean, that game yesterday was grotesque,
and
they found a way to get there. But
yeah, for sure.
Jackson did not look great in the game by any means.
But you got to think, he's not going to probably play like that again. So
you
and
not.
They won that game. So,
yeah.
You know, they might be gone in a way here. And that
you guys,
is interesting.
You guys have a thought on who's better for the Texans offense, Davis Mills or C.J. Stroud? Now, Mills, they didn't put up a lot of points, but he threw 41 times yesterday for 274 yards.
Yeah.
I mean.
And did you see Brissett picked up the all-time completions record in a game? Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah. Wait, which game was this?
Hold on.
The
Cardinals.
Yeah.
I'll get to that one in a second. I did not see that. Hold
Sorry,
on.
I didn't mean
That's
to skip
okay.
ahead.
I
just,
I did
that
not
reminded
see that.
Me.
I'll get to that in a second, but Cam Ward had 194 yards and a touchdown for the Titans, and he was their leading rusher with 33 yards, which shows they couldn't do anything against the Texans defense. And I bring this up because the Bills are going to have a very tough go against the Texans defense.
Yeah,
this is going to be it might be a lower scoring game. I'd be very impressed if the Bills could really, you know, put some numbers up on the Texans defense. Number one in DVOA, number one in, you know, overall defense yards allowed. And Nico Collins, who really hurt the Bills last year with that long touchdown, 9 catches, 92 yards and a touchdown. That's a guy the Bills are going to have to watch out for. Not a great run team, the Texans, but they can do some things on the ground. But I think Davis Mills might be an engine for them that can really get that passing game going. C.J. Stroud can have very good games, but he's also been a lot more downs even than you think right now than ups. And here's your Cardinals stat. Jacoby Brissett, 47 of 57. I did not know this, Owen. 452 yards and 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Wow.
Crazy.
Jacoby
Brissett. That is.
And, I wonder how many fantasy managers benefited from Jacoby Brissett.
Well, Josh, I think, had 47 points yesterday in fantasy or something like that, right?
Yeah,
something like that.
46 and a half, something like that.
22 points for the Cardinals. They lose 41-22 to the San Francisco 49ers. Christian McCaffrey, a pair of touchdowns, 81 yards on the ground. Also 40 yards on 5 catches and a touchdown through the air. So he scores 3 touchdowns. And the 49ers move to 7-4. Cardinals fall to 3-7. 49ers at 7-4 now are a half game ahead of the Seahawks, and a full game and a half behind the LA Rams. It's still a very tight NFC West, but the Rams did themselves a big favor yesterday with a win over the Seahawks, 21-19. In this game, Sam Darnold intercepted 4 times, 279 yards passing, no touchdowns, 4 times. Jackson Smith and Jigba made a great catch on the sideline, didn't score, 9 catches, 105 yards in this one. And the Rams, though, get a typical day and even less from Matt Stafford, even though his numbers are very good. I mean, he's been sensational this year. 130 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Kyron Williams, 91 yards rushing and a touchdown for the Rams at 8-2. All right, and then big one yesterday afternoon. How about the Broncos beating the Chiefs 22-19 on the strength of Bo Nix, 295 yards passing, did not turn the ball over, no touchdown passes, and holding Patrick Mahomes, 276 yards passing, a touchdown and an interception. And the run game for the Broncos wasn't even that special, but they were able to stop the Chiefs' run game, 59 yards from Kareem Hunt on the ground. Okay. Max says to me while watching the game yesterday, we went out after the Bills game at a restaurant. He goes, we're watching the game, and he goes, don't we want the Chiefs? And I'm like, that's a good question, son. You know what? Here's where I fall on this. I totally get it if you want the Chiefs because you say the Bills got to chase the Broncos. I still say keep the Chiefs down as far as possible. Maybe they miss the playoffs. I think the answer here, though, guys, is it didn't matter who won yesterday. You want them to split their 2 games. I think that's the answer. Doesn't matter who won the first game, but you want them to split because they do play again in Week 17. That's what I think.
I agree. I would say if you're going to have one of them, if you have to pick between two evils, I would say make them split 100%.
Yeah, so we'll see where it goes now. But take a look at the AFC West. After the Chargers and the Chiefs both lose, Denver now has a 9-2 record and a full two-game lead on the Chargers and a full 3.5-game lead on the Chiefs. 4 wins and head-to-head, by the way. Holy crap. Denver taking charge. They are now the number one seed in the AFC. Late last night, Sunday Night Football. See the pass interference call?
Yeah, that was...
terrible.
That was horrible.
Terrible.
That, horrendous.
Terrible call on the Lions. Now, I'm not saying they would have won the game, but they were getting the ball back at a third down stop.
Right. You got
down
think.
7. Pass interference. Terrible call. Gives the Eagles a first down. They win the game 16-9. The Eagles are very much kind of like the Bills in this regard this year, where fans talk about what is wrong with the offense. They do have a very good defense, by the way. They've only allowed 16 total points over the last 2 weeks, including against a very good Detroit offense. But they're kind of feast or famine on offense at times. Look at their game, 17-17 in two straight weeks, then 28-38, and then 10-16. But they've won the last 4 games, and they're fully in charge of the NFC East right now, the world champion Philadelphia Eagles. They have an 8-2 record tonight. It is the Cowboys at the Raiders. 3-5-1 Cowboys, 2-7 Raiders. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. Sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, on the way next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, let's sit up on the fact that the Ravens could actually win the North. I think that we are to that point now, 5-5, right? They're a game behind the Steelers, and with Aaron Rodgers' wrist injury, it's looking like that. Let's stand down at tonight's game. We got Cowboys and Raiders? Yeah, I'll be at the Oilers-Sabres game. That is a much better game than Cowboys-Raiders. I'm a bit out of time, but we're still going to do, hey, buddy, let's get to that real quick.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Hey, buddy.
Dudes, you know this dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey, buddy.
Bunny, sit down.
Who's my buddy this week?
I'm your buddy, guy! He's your guy, friend! I'm your friend, buddy!
On WGR.
Blue, you're my boy!
Sports Radio 550.
I referred to them a little bit earlier in the show. My buddies are my actual buddies who came to town this weekend. My friend Steve Smith, his wife Ann, they made their anniversary trip to come up to Buffalo for a Bills game against his team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm sorry to say to you, Steve, but I'm really not. Sending you home with an L, but he loved it. They had a great time. They had a great experience. Bills Mafia, you were amazing to them. They said that they had the most amazing experience here all weekend, taking them out to eat, enjoying the Buffalo food, enjoying a Sabres victory, watching that. They're still here in town for the rest of the afternoon, so that's really cool. We coached high school football together down in Florida, became really good friends back in the 90s. We've been great friends ever since, and for you here in this community to show my friends and people who come to town the love that you do. So appreciative, so thankful. So, Steve, sorry that the Bills are sending you and your Buccaneers home with a loss, but not really. The Bills needed that one. Glad you guys had a great time. And Ann said maybe she's even going to root for the Bills from now on because she had such a great experience. So those are my buddies today. Have a great day, everybody. Bills, One Bills Live up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.